You mentioned the credit markets being of particular interest to small business, and we've certainly seen that locally. The pace of our business slowed as the credit markets dried up. Could you talk about the prospects for a loosening in the credit markets?
During the heated part of the recession, I got a lot of comments, in effect, from both sides, from borrowers and from bankers. And borrowers accused the bankers of tightening standards, which they did, and tightening credit, and in many cases calling loans and so forth. The bankers' perspective was, after all, we're in a recession, and it's time to be more cautious about lending. And this was a fairly contentious kind of interaction between the banking community and the borrowing community. My sense is that this is loosening and that the picture of a recovery developing is at least evolving the credit picture from the point of view of banks. The banks are very interested in lending. Now, from the point, small business is a challenge and always has been a challenge. For many years, I worked in a company that really focused on the SME, small and mid-sized enterprise sector. That sector has never been terribly well served. In the Federal Reserve, we put in place something called the Term Asset-Backed Securities Lending Facility, TALF, and its purpose was to buy securities in a variety of different credit segments, including SBA loans. And we have built that facility up now. I think it's approaching $200 billion of purchases of asset-backed securities. Unfortunately, most small businesses don't really borrow from the SBA. It's a fairly limited subsegment of the credit that flows to small business. So I would think for small business, credit availability, although improving, will be a challenge for some time as we come out of this recession.
Thank you, Mr. Lockhart. Our next question?
Yes, can you talk about the multiplier effect and the fact that is there any evidence that the stimulus is actually working and that banks are actually, rather than lending, buying bonds, et cetera?
Well, the question is about the multiplier effect, and I'm not a PhD professional economist, but I have a lot of them around me. And so I've been educated in some of these technical questions. There are really two kinds of multiplier effects at work. First, there is the monetary multiplier effect that acts upon what we call the monetary base, which is currency in circulation plus bank reserves at the central bank. And that multiplier has been, we believe, relatively weak in translating or transmitting through to the money supply. That's one of the reasons that the enormous growth in the size of the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve from about $900 billion to over $2 trillion in a little over a year is viewed as more benign than many people would think. That's a multiplier, a monetary multiplier. Your question really related to the multiplier calculations that went into the deliberations over the stimulus package when it was being considered on Capitol Hill, and there were various arguments about what that multiplier would be. Since most of the outlays under that stimulus package really are coming online in the second half of the year, just now beginning to feed into the economy, I think it's a little bit early to draw scientific conclusions about what the multiplier has actually been. My recollection of the debate was that there was a school of thought that every dollar spent in the stimulus package would multiply by a factor of two or more into aggregate demand in the economy. My sense is that reasonable people could disagree on what that multiplier would be. We certainly passed the stimulus package with a view that there would be a punch with the stimulus package from the multiplier effect, but I'm hesitant to say that there's any evidence yet exactly what that multiplier is.
Thank you, and this will be our final question.
Thank you for coming. You've given an excellent talk. Could you give a brief synopsis on H.R. 1207 and what your thoughts are pertaining to that bill?
Whew. What is H.R. 407?
H.R. 1207, it's the
Reserve audit bill.
Ah, there we go. Okay. And this is the, is this in the Ron Paul proposed bill? Is that right? Well, let me start with the statement that central bank independence is a very, very important principle. We guard our political independence, and therefore it's not very smart for me to wade into political discussions, including pending bills on Capitol Hill. So let me just repeat the position that Chairman Bernanke and others have taken on the idea of auditing monetary policy. Our position is not a particularly good idea. The independence of the Federal Reserve to not be influenced by short-term political calculations or pressure, but rather to focus on what's best for the country long-term in terms of economic and monetary policy, I think is a central tenet of good governance in this country. And to have, even with absolutely good intentions, monetary policy audited after the fact inevitably politicizes it, and I don't think that's in the interest of the country. Thank you very much for your attention.